Yesterday, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers got rid of Marquez Callaway, or Marquez, as he pronounces it. Marquez Callaway, wide receiver. He's 6'2", about 204 pounds. Had a really nice year with the Saints 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And since then, he hasn't done much. He's been dinged up and stuff. This is another guy. If I'm the Browns, I'm calling his agent. I'm saying, is he healthy?
Well, I'd have the doctors check him out.
Is he looking for a job? Would he like to come to camp? We have OTAs coming up. We'd like to take a look. I like him. I liked him. Let me put it that way. In his second year in the league, he was really good. 46 catches, 698 yards, and had six scores. And he was a good threat for the New Orleans Saints. Since then, not so much. Went to Tennessee. Can't go wrong there. Maybe he knows the Haslams.
Maybe. Maybe they've got a buddy that can help hook him up with that. They can all be friends.
Add him to the list, okay?
Trying to remember that year, was that 20? Would you say 2021?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that Jameis Winston? I think that was Jameis Winston.
Well, he's not here anymore.
I'm just saying that great year that he had, he was with Jameis Winston in New Orleans. Yeah, 2021.
You know, Jameis makes wide receivers look good.
He does make wide receivers. I will say that.
So why would you keep him around?
Because he also makes defensive backs look good, too.
It's a yin to every yang.
Thank you.
I'll have great Andy Baskin lines for 200, please.
It's like, how many yards did he throw for? 650. How many to his own team? 50. Oh, okay.
Andy, that was pretty good.
Every once in a while.
I'll give you credit for that one. That was pretty good, my friend. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I was just thinking. I was remembering the year that he was good was with New Orleans. Yeah, and then I was like, that was Jameis, yeah.
Well, not completely, but a good chunk of it was Jameis.
Yeah.
He started 7 games that year.
Why don't the Browns just sign Jameis Winston back, too? Can they get him?
I still want.
Is it too late? Anybody got a receipt? Anybody
have the receipt? I still want DJ Chark.
You know, what do you want?
DJ Chark.
What's he doing?
He's looking for a gig.
Slinging soup.
He was hurt last year with the Chargers, and he's from LSU. He's had a couple of good seasons, and I think that's the type of guy you bring in. Keep your fingers crossed and think, okay, is this going to be anything? Because even though you put that tag on Elijah Moore, that doesn't mean he's coming back. So right now you have Cedric Tillman, you have Jerry Jeudy, and you're going to take a look at Deontay Johnson. That's all I want him to do. You're going to take a look at Deontay, right? I mean, mm-hmm. You signed him, but does it mean he's here? I don't know if there are guaranteed dollars or not. I would bet not, because Deontay needed a team. By God, he had enough of them last year. So I'm not sold on him, but I'm glad they're going to take a look at him. I think that's a great move. And I want them to do the same thing with DJ Chark. I'd be happy if they did it with Marquez Callaway.
Yeah, he was dealing. Your guy was dealing with a hip injury last year.
Yeah, he only caught like 4 passes all year.
Yeah.
But he's made a Pro Bowl. He's had a 1,000-yard season. This is unfortunately where the Browns are at the wide receiver spot.
Hmm.
That's unfortunate.
Ooh, he sold 7 policies last month at this insurance agency. Good for him.
What the hell happened to Andy Baskin this segment? That's 2 good ones.
It would be really nice to have a room that is primarily known for scoring points to not just be a collection of guys that the entire coaching staff has to keep their fingers crossed on.
Yeah, but listen, what's the difference? If you're gonna attack the quarterback position like you're throwing darts and hoping that one of 7 of them hits the bullseye, well, how about 10 wide receivers? Let's see if maybe one can hit the bullseye.
Andy,
I mean, that is our philosophy.
Exactly my thought here.
Yeah.
And
this is analytics at its finest.
Well, I'm not even trying to be funny or cute.
Junior.
They need some wide receivers.
No point of analytics involves you sticking your head on a baseball bat and spinning 35 times. That's not in analytics.
They need some wide receivers.
Unless you want to talk centrifugal force, then maybe.
If you bring in, let me just throw this out at you.
What's the eventual outcome there? And if you can survive that without what perceived outcome would be, then analytics would tell you that guy's got an iron stomach and maybe he can handle a couple hits. There's your analytical purpose there, Mr. DePodesta.
If you need a wide receiver.
35 spins and we all barf. Fantastic.
And you bring in Deontay Johnson, which you're doing. You bring in DJ Chark. which I'd love to see him do.
At this point, I just want to tell you, stop.
You bring in Marquez Callaway. Hold on. Just listen to me. Stick with me here. You bring in Marquez Callaway. Between Johnson, Chark, and Callaway, don't you think you'd find that one of these guys could play for you? One.
Why do you want Berea to be the one house in the neighborhood that has 13 cars in the front of it and two of them turn over?
I don't.
And there aren't enough cinder blocks, so one of them is hanging on three wheels instead of four.
Exactly.
Hold on. I don't. Answer this question for me, and I'll wait. Who's the Browns' third receiver who you trust and you think that guy's good and is going to produce? Go ahead, I'll wait.
I was waiting for this.
Go ahead. Who is it?
I don't trust the number two receiver.
Exactly my point.
Hell, I don't even trust the number one receiver.
That's my point.
I have one season
of him
looking like a passable wide receiver.
On paper, and from what we saw last year, their wide receivers are not very good. I am a big Cedric Tillman fan. I'll readily admit that.
How much of this, though, is the guys trying to get them the ball last year weren't very good either?
That's a heck of a point there.
I mean, do we really, really know what Jamari Thrash looks like? Do we really know what Cedric Tillman looks like?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, because he was dang good when Jameis was throwing him the football.
There was a lot of incompetence last year.
And then he got his concussion, and this brings up another question. If you're counting on him to be your number two wide receiver, well, what if he gets dinged up again? I mean, Denzel Ward has had some concussion things, right? And Denzel seems to get a concussion every year, unfortunately. If Cedric Tillman missed, six or seven games from a concussion, can we assume he's good to go? I sure hope so, because I really like him. I really do. I think he's really good. I think he could be really good.
If you could ignore the misses and the thrown interceptions, I bet Joe Flacco could make David Bell look good eventually at some point.
Oh, my God. Maybe. Jimmy's in Cleveland. Jimmy.
I'm just saying.
Jimmy.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Hey, Jimmy.
Good.
All right, so here's what I got. I don't understand why. I actually like what they did in the draft, the approach about Sanders. I felt that we could have picked him. I'm a big Will Howard fan nonetheless. With that being said, we got four quarterbacks. We know one's not going to make it. That's going to be Gabriel. But here's the upside. He's trade bait, fellas. That's a receiver in the making. I didn't understand why we didn't draft a receiver, but that's okay. I only know Jerry Jeudy and Tillman. That's the only two. I don't have any idea who the other receivers are. But I believe that Gabriel will make it in the NFL. He'll be Baker Mayfield type quarterback, won't be as good, but he'll be have a solid career because he's going to have to work harder than your average size quarterback for the NFL. So I think that they did a good thing there, and I don't think that they consciously did it. I think it was the way they drafted, but they have four quarterbacks, and one of them's going to be traded. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Sanders. And one more thing before I go,
I got a question for you, Jimmy. So keep going.
Okay, go ahead, buddy. Go ahead.
Oh, my question for you, like you, I think we're cut from the same cloth on Will Howard. Here's my question for you, and I think this is a dilemma for Browns fans, and maybe we'll bring this up a little later. Are you rooting for Will Howard?
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
I got to tell you this. It's very hard for me to root for him. This is not a left turn. He said exactly
what that was a right turn.
Okay, he said, Jimmy, you said what I've been thinking for 2 days. I can't root against Will Howard. I will when he plays against the Browns. But I'm not going to root for him because
you mean when he sits against the Browns?
Okay, if I'm looking at it from that.
I can't even say what I really think. Go ahead, sorry, Jimmy.
We should have. Here was my thing. Here was my draft. Travis Hunter at 2, Will Howard at 33, and I give. Excuse my language.
We're excusing your language because we're dumping you.
Oh, so good. That was so close. That was so close to a really good phone call.
Your guys who support you cuss on the air. That's all you need to know.
Why? Because I talk to real people.
Oh, my God.
The real people of Cleveland want to talk to me. The real sports fans of Cleveland. I speak that language when the mic's off. We're the same. Cut from the same cloth, my friend.
All I know is I count nasty words on our conference calls.
What is it?
Usually takes about a minute and a half before you utter one nasty word on our conference call.
You know, you should stopwatch me like I'm running the 100. Dan's got one. I'm sure Dan has a stopwatch, right?
Of course he does.
You don't ever stopwatch me on the conference call, do you? To see how long before
90
I curse?
Seconds before Andy curses.
No, I haven't done that yet.
90 seconds.
start.
But did we wake you up? Were you sleeping back there? What are you doing?
I think he was.
You know, when he was in the room with us, he paid way more attention to what we were doing. Way more attention. Now I think we've isolated you into this hot box back there, and I don't even know what you're going to say. I don't even know you anymore.
The sauna does things to people.
Since we've changed our studio, Dan is in the room, and all of the really new, expensive, really nice equipment that the station has been moved into that room. There's only one issue there.
What is it?
You put like six monitors in there and a great big expensive board. I mean, it's really good equipment.
I could hack the Pentagon back here. But it's amazing.
It's great stuff, but it gives off heat. There's no air conditioning vent in that room, and the room is about 5 by 9.
Do you think it's weird?
It might not even be 9. Might be 5 by 7. And Dan, who always wears his flannel or his hoodie, is wearing a T-shirt. That's all you need to know.
I don't know. I'm looking at Dan is turning a little green back there. Maybe a little like Chevy Chase, Modern Problems. Remember that movie?
ESPN.
Who turned green in that movie? I can't remember.
ESPN's Matt Miller, who is a really respected draft guy, put something out very early this morning. We know Andrew Berry's track record in the draft, right? It's not been stellar since he's been here. Matt Miller ranking the 100 best picks, steals, fits. Think the Browns are all over this? Or do you think the Browns aren't included? We'll tell you next on Baskin and Phelps. ESPN has something out, and I thought, this is interesting. We know Andrew Berry's draft record has not been stellar since he's been with the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair. I think it's accurate. He's not nailed a lot of draft choices. And I think that's a problem, to be perfectly honest. But Matt Miller from ESPN put something out today. And he says, ranking the 100 best picks, steals, fits from the 2025 NFL draft.
Yep.
And I thought, okay, what's this all about? At number 10, the 10th best pick, steal, or fit in the NFL draft, Shedeur Sanders. Oh, Dan, I was ready to spit it out and you hit the timpani. It's Shedeur Sanders. Miller had him ranked as the 25th player overall, and he has him ranked at number 10 on this list.
Okay.
He says getting a prospect universally ranked in the top 32 at pick number 144 represents terrific value for the Browns.
Do we have to do equal time on this? Or?
No, not. Well, okay. I don't know. Should we?
Well, you're talking about Shedeur.
All right.
Yeah.
In accordance with the radioactive 1927, equal time for Dylan Gabriel.
Dylan's dad, Garrett, played quarterback at Hawaii from 1986 to 1990. When he left, he was the all-time leader in passing yards and touchdowns at Hawaii. Over 5,600 passing yards and 47 touchdowns. All right. At number 23.
He was in college the same exact time. It means I'm old enough to be.
You sure are.
Yeah.
And this is Matt Miller here. And again, this is the 100 best picks, steals, fits. At number 23 on his list. And remember, this is Andrew Berry drafting, and Andrew's drafts have not been universally loved, is Mason Graham. And he had him ranked as the 4th overall player in the draft. He thinks getting Graham was a good idea. Love the idea of Graham playing next to Myles Garrett on the Browns' defensive line. Graham doesn't lose reps and will draw attention away from Garrett on the edge. Defensive line could quickly become a strength for a team that's lacking advantages. That's nicely put, isn't it? Hi, the Browns are lacking advantages.
They're emerging. We're not going to fail them.
He's
emerging.
He's got two guys in his top 23 of best picks and steals and fits. And it gets better.
How many other teams had two in the top 25? I know,
well,
don't ask.
Why don't you count them up and find out?
I wish I could.
At number 41.
You are reading something that I don't have access to.
Well, then maybe you should know better people. Hmm. At number 41, Quinshon Judkins, the running back. He said he has Judkins ranked as his number 3 running backs in an early round grade, and that's where the Browns picked him. Loves how Judkins fits in a Kevin Stefanski offense as a Nick Chubb replacement. I think that's really interesting. He'll be given every chance to be RB1 in Cleveland. But guess what?
What?
At pick 44, he has running back Dylan Sampson. So he has both Browns running back picks in the top 44 of his 100 best steals and fits. And
do we get a trophy for this or like a ribbon or certificate?
Browns had several value picks in this draft, and Sampson was one of the best with a 62-point swing in terms of grade against draft position. That's pretty good. He had him ranked as the 64th best prospect, and the Browns got him at 126. His dynamic, slashing style forms an ideal thunder and lightning pairing with Judkins. That's pretty good.
Thunder and lightning, kids. Thunder and lightning.
And lightning. You better knock, Andy, on wood. And at 53, Carson Schlesinger.
What number was that?
53. Now, the Browns took him at 33. Matt Miller had him ranked at 45 overall. He said he was the only true off-ball linebacker with a starter grade on his board. He said with JOK's status unknown, Schlesinger could be a week one starter at either the Will or the Mike linebacker spots.
So you're saying they had five of the best picks of the top 53?
Yes.
So
how about that?
That's not bad.
Well, now, you know, they haven't played it down in the NFL, but...
Well, that's why you get a certificate.
Thank you very much. Five of the Browns draft choices.
Or a state championship in the state of Ohio.
Five of the Browns draft choices.
They're handing those out like certificates.
Sitting right there. Dylan Gabriel not... Neither is Harold Fannin.
Oh.
But
I read someone told me that they thought Fannin was might have been one of the best picks in the draft.
Well, I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
But I do think it's kind of fascinating. Andrew Berry, whose drafts have not very been highly thought of.
It might have been out of the Canton repository though, because he's from I'm kidding. I read the Canton repository. I think you do a great
goes
job.
Goes ahead and says a few things and they pick all those guys. Here's another one. You ready?
Sock it to me.
Well, you might find this fun. The Browns draft, and this is according to NFL Next Gen Stats. They put together a little graphic and a little digging here. The most productive draft class. And our buddy Lance Reisland sent me this.
Okay.
And Lance does a lot of stuff for Cleveland.com when he's not educating the youth of Northeast Ohio or doing color analysis on football games. The most productive draft class. In other words, guys who actually produced at the college level, not just drafting on potential, guys who have production over potential. Number one, according to the NFL Next Gen Stats, the Cleveland Browns.
Number one?
Number one, most productive at the college level draft classes. Browns were number one with a grade of 83. Next, the Giants at 80, Patriots at 75.
Is there a parade or what? Do we get a parade?
No, but I just think it's interesting. And Lance immediately sent something to me, and he said, the Browns drafted for productivity over potential this year. And then like 2 days later, he found this and sent it to me, backing up his thought. Productivity over potential. And you know, Andy, it goes back to, I think it's the same thing in the NBA. Okay, you can draft all these guys who you think might be really good. Give me the guy who was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give me the guy who was good.
Yeah.
Shedeur Sanders was pretty good at Colorado.
He was.
Dylan Gabriel was pretty good at UCF.
He was.
And Oklahoma. And Oregon. Judkins was pretty dang good at Ole Miss. And he was good at Ohio State in limited use because he didn't have to be the man. Sampson, in his first 2 years, was okay. Split some carries. Third year... Boom, SEC Offensive Player of the Year. Browns, Mason Graham, force in the middle of the defensive line for the Michigan Wolverines. The Browns actually drafted guys who produced at the college level. Schlesinger, in his 1 year, really good. Now the hope is you get to the NFL and you do the same thing. James is in Mentor. James, welcome to the
show.
Hey,
James.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
You're good.
We're all right, James.
Yeah. Well, I do want to say a couple of things. I think sometimes, I know when we talk about the receiving core, you know, I think we could be a little hyperbolic when we talk about where we stand right now. I mean, for me personally, I saw promise out of Cedric Tillman.
I like him. I like him.
Yeah, I think there was a stretch of games where a lot of people, again, the injury happens, and we have a lot of, you know, again, we don't ding Dizzo Ward for getting injured when we know he's a good player, but this is Cedric Tillman's second year,
yep,
and he was starting to show some promise. So
he
saying for a third round pick, I mean, to me, the arrow points up for him, and I know a lot of people are hesitant with Jerry Jeudy, but my expectations, I saw what he could be, and we understood what the situation was in Denver and what a lot of people said. He is in a healthier situation being in Cleveland, at least coming out of like, hey, let's get him into a newer surrounding, and he produced. So to me, I think arrows are pointing up for those players. And to your point of like, who else we can bring in, like you said, you know, Shark or, you know, Johnson. I mean, I think if I'm a receiver looking to rehab my opportunity, my career, Cleveland's the place I want to do it. You know why? Because you have opportunities that there's going to be an emphasis of bringing in a quarterback that they want to make sure is going to be the guy. They are going to give those people the opportunity. You're going to run the ball. So number one, they're going to try to run and build that off of, so you can do the opportunities of play action passing and stuff like that. So open an opportunity. We all say Kevin Stefanski can open up the play calls for the wide receiver or have plays to allow the wide receivers to get open. So I think this is natural. I mean, Stephon Diggs, I mean, if everyone wants to talk about, you know, certain wide receivers, we've seen how he's produced with receivers with talent. And to the point that, Jeff, that you were making, I think there is a point to production right now. And to me, if you're looking at Deontay Johnson, his production shows that he can play.
Yep.
I would rather bet on that right now than a fifth-round receiver coming out of this draft and hoping he can do something. Now, the biggest thing, like you said, is at the end of the day, if he can't put it together here, it ain't a big sweat from us to just, hey, you know, you don't want to put it together, we'll just let you keep it moving because your reputation's on it, right?
And James, that's why I say, hey, take a look at Shark. Take a look at Callaway. Yeah. You know, find somebody else that you can put in that group who might be able to produce for you. Or I mean, you can be sure they'll be paying attention, James. And James, really good thoughts. When teams start cutting guys, you know, whether it's at the end of the preseason, Andy, whether a guy gets cut, you know, in the offseason, that happens all the time as well. And I'm not kidding here. This sounds silly, but because the Browns are lacking right now in like, okay, this is our guy at wide receiver, man, look at the UFL. Find somebody who's like kicking butt in the UFL once that season really gets rolling. It's underway now. And bring him in for a look. Sign him. Bring him in for training camp. If he doesn't look good, get rid of him. It's okay. You're allowed to do that. A couple of things with some of the rookies that always cracks me up. And it involves, I won't say a sense of entitlement, but maybe a sense of being a little naive. And when it comes to digits, you look perplexed.
I'm very perplexed.
Good. I'll explain it next on Baskin and Phelps. That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Welcome back to the show. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Chris Rose from the NFL Network is going to join us. Hey, if you're on the phone, stick with us. We'll get right to your phone calls. I always think this is kind of a fun thing. You know, rookies come into the league and, for instance, Mason Graham wore number 55 at Michigan and played in the middle of that defensive line. And when he got to Cleveland, he was kicking around the idea of what can I do? You know, what number should I get? You know, blah, 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 blah. He apparently asked Browns equipment manager Corey Galissi, hey, what's the likelihood of me getting number 55 if you had a percentage on that?
Mm-hmm.
And Corey, the equipment manager, said, it's not very high. But you can talk to Ethan Posick if you'd like. Ethan, of course, wears number 55
right,
for the Cleveland Browns, the center in the middle of the line. And so Graham apparently has decided he's going to wear number 94 this year.
Oh, okay.
Either he didn't want to approach the veteran and say, would you sell me your number? Give me your number, blah, blah, blah. He's taking 94. Personally, smart move. I don't think it's a great idea, great look for a rookie to come in and say to a veteran, "Hi, I'm a rookie. Can I have your number?" Whether you're paying for it or not.
I don't know. What I would do is reach out to the equipment manager and maybe say to the equipment manager, "One of the rookies wants to buy your number. What's it worth?" Without giving a name. But then it might not be too hard to figure out.
It'd be pretty easy for Posick to figure it out.
Yeah.
My guess is it's not Dylan Sampson.
I don't know. If I was Ethan, I might be willing to sell the number off.
Yeah.
I'd sell my number off. Would you?
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I think you.
I would.
I don't know, man. It depends.
But Posick.
I mean, what if Ethan Posick wears double five for a reason? Like, what
exactly.
if there's a
and some
what
guys
if there's
do.
A family reason or something like that? Right. So yeah, maybe I don't know.
But see, here,
Dan,
here's
would you
the
sell
deal.
Your number?
You and I like money.
Yeah, you would.
Just the number.
You and I like money, and we're not making millions like offensive linemen and everybody else who already have a lot of cash. But you and I would sell it off in a heartbeat.
I don't
you
know.
Kidding me?
No, it depends.
All right, now riddle me this one.
Depends.
Cam Ward
yeah.
gets drafted by the Tennessee Titans. He wore number one.
Yeah.
Well, and stick with me here. Number one with the Tennessee Titans is retired for Warren Moon, who never played for the Tennessee Titans. He played for the Houston Oilers, who moved to Tennessee and became the Titans.
Silly.
I think that's silly, too.
That's
Warren,
silly.
You know what Warren Moon said?
Go ahead, wear it.
Absolutely.
Sure. Good for Warren Moon.
Good for Warren Moon.
Good for you, Warren Moon.
Way to be, Warren. We love you.
You are athlete of the day.
We think that's
brought
outstanding.
Brought to you by Free Air.
We
have nothing else to give away other than Free Air.
However.
We get you a spot in the Caller Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's right. Warren Moon is
now in the Caller Hall of Fame.
Are we jotting these things down?
Yeah, we'll get it. We'll get it. Don't worry. We'll build it.
Do we have space in Hinckley to put this up?
You know
we'll
what?
Have to expand a little.
You know yeah. what a big
we'll
deal
make it work.
Is?
Jeff, can we get you on board with this, please? Last week you weren't here for this. Dan, explain to him why this is very important to the show.
I got other things to do.
But we had a no, you don't.
You have nothing else to do. No, we're here. We know
you're
your agenda.
You're just going to sit there and go,
I see the rundown. It says you have nothing here.
You're going to sit there and go, you know, there's a wide receiver who played at this community college in Topeka.
I still want Isaiah Bond.
Who's got a little bit of speed to him. Well,
who cares about the accusations? Nobody's going to pay any attention. They have Shadur and they have Deshaun and they have everybody else.
But no, so we had a caller. He was fantastic. Andy put him in the Caller Hall of Fame. We asked
put him in the Caller Hall of Fame.
Why are we putting it in Hinckley?
Well, because the gentleman.
He lived in Hinckley, that's why.
Oh, okay.
And he goes, well, there's nothing here in Hinckley anyway. And we
got
buzzards. We're putting the Caller Hall of Fame.
That's what I said, buzzards. And he said, it's overrated.
No, it's not.
Did he not? Did he say it was overrated?
I was driving through Hinckley one time. Right next to the putt-putt golf course that's down there.
This
and
one time
range.
In Hinckley.
And there's an open field. And my kid and I are driving by and we looked. There had to be 1,000 buzzards sitting in these trees looking for one of us to walk out into the middle of the field and fall down so they could peck at us.
We were going to marching band camp.
So,
were you in marching band, by the way?
Abdul Carter.
Trumpet?
Yep.
First, second, third, what chair were you?
I was first for the most part.
Oh, Mr. First Chair.
Well, you
excuse
asked,
me.
I
wanted to know.
I was first or second chair.
Let me ask you this, Mr. All High and Mighty First Chair. Who was the second chair? Do you remember who you sat next to?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
We had a really good trumpet player from our school who ended up going to BW and entering the conservatory and was really good.
Wow.
And I was second chair to him when I was a freshman.
Oh, you were second? And then you passed him?
No, he graduated, thank God.
Oh.
And then I was first chair for a while, and then my senior year, after auditions, my buddy Keith beat me out.
Oh!
Keith listens all the time.
Keith,
and
way
I
to
didn't,
go.
And I didn't care.
Way to put him in his place.
But I waited all year long to challenge him for the last time.
Did you ever glue down his spit valve after that
Keith,
or anything?
I'm sorry, but I beat him in the challenge, and wow. I finished my senior year at first chair. I wanted to be first chair in my last concert.
So you had to beat him out. Did you like go home and train like Rocky?
I was an above average trumpet player. I wasn't really good. I was above average.
Yeah.
But you know, like the first chair guy, Brian was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really good.
Oh, everyone knows Brian.
All right, so,
Brian the trumpet player.
Can I get back to this, please?
Well, you didn't ask me
you
what
losers?
Chair I was.
You were trombone and you were fourth chair.
Fourth chair out of how many?
Five.
Three. That's right. I was fourth chair out of three.
See? I'm the only guy here who knows you played trombone.
I will say this, though. The guy that sat next to me.
I know you, Andy Baskin.
Let me give props to the guy.
To know Andy is to love him. Can I get back to this number thing?
No, because I really want to give
one big number thing
here. I want to give props to the guy that was ahead of me.
Who cares?
His name is Dave Range, and he was probably one of the best wrestlers to ever come out of Northeast
Ohio.
Great,
and he played trombone. Good, Dave.
Would it be
Dave? So Cam Ward asked for number one. You know, can I wear number one? Warren Moon said, by all means, please wear number one. Cam Ward wore number one. Abdul Carter was drafted by the Giants. What did he wear at Penn State? He wore number 11. What did he ask to wear in New York? The retired number 56 of LT.
Oh, LT.
Lawrence Taylor. And Lawrence's ego has always been really in check.
Yeah. You know,
what did LT tell him?
He said, hang out a second. I can't be near the school zone.
LT told him, nope.
No?
You're not wearing my number. But you know what LT said?
Wow.
Tell me if you buy this or if this is okay. LT said, he has to be the player that he is. He can't be another Lawrence Taylor. Well, he may be better than a Lawrence Taylor. Who knows? But he has to make his mark. It's up to him. So I'm hoping that he's not thinking that, oh, I got shot down by LT. No, it's not like that, man. It's, hey, I'm with you. I mean, I'm the guy that it takes two. I don't know what that means. I'm going to be two steps behind you and make sure you don't fall. But you're not wearing my number, dang it.
So LT wouldn't give him his number, right?
LT said no. And you know what? Good. I say good for LT because LT earned the retirement of the number. And man, if you're Abdul Carter, do you really want to put 56 on your back of the New York Giants? Let's raise expectations to unbelievable heights, please.
I don't know. I know Andy Katzenmoyer wore Archie Griffin's number at Ohio State, and I thought that was cool that Archie let him.
Fearless Leader sent us a text.
Yeah, what'd he say?
There's nothing better than hearing midday sports show hosts brag about their marching band accomplishments.
That's true.
I didn't bring it up, Fearless Leader.
I wasn't in marching band, so I didn't have
any. Over on my right. He asked me if I was in marching band.
Why?
Then he
just
asked me what chair I was, and I told him.
Just because I said I was fourth chair out of, what,
love the little smart guy comments from Fearless Leader.
Dave Range and his father, David Range.
That's really good.
Two amazing wrestlers.
That's really good.
We accomplished a lot of side quests today, Fearless Leader.
I'm
glad. A lot of side quests.
I'm glad for that. Joe's in Cleveland. Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Joe, tell the kids to get back in the pool. What's going on
here? Quit dealing with recess and talk to us.
Sounds like he's a swimming pool, doesn't it?
Thanks, Joe. You're on hold.
Oh, well, that was nice.
Eric's in Akron. Eric, welcome.
What up, E?
What's going on, guys?
You are. You're on the air. All of Northeast Ohio is listening to you right now. No pressure.
So I kind of wanted to talk bigger picture about the Browns a little bit. I agree. There was a gentleman on this morning where he was talking about analytics, and that's why they picked Shador. And I kind of agree with that. And I guess I pose a question to you too. Like, the Cavs and the Guardians don't use analytics near as much as the Browns are obsessed with it. And the Cavs and the Guardians.
I don't know that that's true, Eric.
Well, it's over.
Okay.
They do use analytics a lot.
Guardians love analytics. So do the Cavs.
Isn't that where Dee Podesta got to start?
Did you know that like every movement of a player on the floor at Rocket Arena is computerized and it's all.
Who was I just watching? I was watching a graphic on somebody's telecast. They were showing that.
It's
a computerized model of players walking on the floor, or what they're doing on the floor, how they shoot, all kinds of.
I wonder if Joe's still at recess. Joe, you still at
Joe,
recess?
Joe, you back or what?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Joe, where are you, man? It sounds like you're working at the factory. You're at a pool. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm with the USPS in the plant right now.
Very good. Thank you for your hard work. Thank you.
Hey, thanks. Guys, I think the obvious is I don't think 55 is going to be with us very much longer. So he'll probably have that in a year or two, right?
If he wants to hold out for it. Yeah, Joe, I think so.
And how about Jamari Thrash and Michael Wilson? I like those guys.
Woods.
You know, for a moment, or Michael Woods, I'm sorry. They had a chance, and then he got hurt. So do you know anything about, especially Thrash, because they had ranked him pretty decent when we had took him out of Louisville.
I don't know. I like Thrash. Question. Remember, Thrash had a pretty good preseason last year. They just couldn't get him the ball. And you know, obviously he wasn't exactly their go-to guy in his first year. Let's see if they give him a little bit more opportunity.
And I say, let's sign Amari. You know, he just looks good with Flacco and KC starting, and why not?
And if Flacco doesn't stick around, then Joe, you can let him go if it doesn't work out.
You see the story? There are rumblings that he might re-sign with Dallas.
No, did not hear that.
Yeah,
so.
I saw that. I don't know if there's anything to it, but Amari back to Dallas, which would be interesting because they traded him to the Browns. So who knows? Joe, thank you very much. Thanks, appreciate that. Back to work. Joe, get back to work. So all I know is that they need some wide receivers. I hope they take a look at some guys. And then I hope they don't want to come in and wear 42 because that's Paul Warfield.
I don't think 32 is going anytime soon either.
32 is not. I don't think Paul's number's retired, is it? But I still wouldn't wear 42 if I was a Browns wide receiver. That's Paul Warfield, baby.
Yeah, I know. Somebody's had to do that. Has no one worn 42 since?
I don't know. No, somebody has. Louis Riddick wore 42, didn't he?
Yeah.
ESPN analyst. I think Louis wore number 42 when he was a member of the Browns. But if I'm a receiver, I'm not wearing 42.
John Kelly's Tony Fields had it.
Yeah. Didn't Louis Riddick wear 42?
Checking.
Well, Andy checks. We'll go to break.
He did. 93-95.
See? Mm-hmm. Knew that one with those huge shoulder pads.
Good job.
Chris Rose, NFL Network.
Tim Manoa. How do we forget Tim Manoa?
Love Timmy.
Yeah.
Chris Rose coming up next on Baskin and Phelps. What did he think? A, about two quarterbacks? B, about two running backs? Rose coming up on Baskin and Phelps.